I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
I love it. Bringing truth like thunder.
Amen.
Yep. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Yep, that's the Terry and Jesse Show, Holy Hour of Power. High Energy Catholic Radio. Yep, Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton would not qualify for this position here. They don't have the energy. They don't have the stamina. We are two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. And we give you full contact Catholicism Monday through Friday. Terry, well, are you reporting for duty?
Reporting to duty, sir. And Jesse, I got to tell you, before we give the good news of Jesus Christ, you know, I'm always calling our monthly donors in the evenings, and it kind of blew me away. One of our good doctors back in New Jersey who listens to us, who never forget, he says, I'm just disappointed the other stations aren't picking you up, but I listen every day. He calls me, and he says, yes, is this Terry Barber? I said, yes. He says, reporting for duty, sir, this is Dr. such and such. And you see, Jesse, everywhere we go, why? Because this is our duty to introduce people to the person of Christ. So I just have to thank all of our people who donate support, your prayerful support, your financial support. Because, you know, Jess, this is so important for us to share the good news, especially in these troubled times. So we have the gospel each day at Mass, and we've been reading through Matthew. We're at a short verse, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 to 27. Jess, could you read that for us, please?
Real short. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's take a look at what Jesus is doing here. Mm. Our blessed Lord is inviting the disciples to follow and to learn from him as a model of perfect obedience to God the Father. And look at what Jesus is doing here. There, in the Old Testament, wisdom is kind of spoken of in anthropomorphic terms as a person. And so Jesus is evoking wisdom's invitation to be humble, because in the Old Testament, in the book of Sirach, wisdom calls us to draw near to me and to be humble. And also in the book of Sirach, there's a passage that says, put your neck under your yoke in Sirach 51:26. And in Sirach 51:27, it says, and see with your eyes that I have labored little and found for myself much rest. This is where Jesus Christ is drawing Matthew 11, 28 to 30 from. Protestants say Jesus never quotes from the seven deuterocanonical books. Today's three verses are directly from Sirach. That's where they come. They don't come from any of the other books. It comes from Sirach, the book that Protestants have discarded after the Reformation. And what's Jesus calling us ultimately to? I think it's in verse 29 is the kicker, where he calls us to find rest. Jesus is inviting us, you know, despite all the controversies that were happening in his time and the controversies happening in our time, he's calling us to rest, which is what? The spiritual Sabbath, which for us is Sunday, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We enter into the Sacred Heart of Jesus, into spiritual rest. And in the Old Testament, the Jews, they celebrated the Old Covenant on the Sabbath, which was Saturday. But for us as Catholics, the rest that Jesus Christ is calling us to, he's calling us to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where we find peace and consolation and tranquility and serenity of conscience as we receive that sanctifying grace that only Jesus Christ can give us. That's the peace that the world cannot give us.
Well said, Jesse. And Bishop Sheen talks about that piece in his section today. Let's bring Fulton Sheen into the picture. Well, I guess the train isn't running on Thursday, so we're going to bring him on a bicycle. Bishop Sheen, what do you have to say today? Well, it's taken from his quotable Sheen book, and it's about choices we make. He says, every man is on a cross. Some ask to be taken down, like the thief on the left. Others ask to be taken up, like the thief on the right. Which one are you? I want to be the one on the right, because you know what? I want to get to heaven. And Bishop Sheen's now, his beatification has been approved. We're waiting for the date, and Jesse and I will continue to let you know when that date is. I am actually, Jesse, going to set up a pilgrimage. Once we know the date, we're going to try and work with a group that will set up a pilgrimage where we all can meet at Virgin Most Powerful at the beatification of Fulton Sheen. And I'll keep that information with you once we know the date.
Yeah, we'll keep posting the audience.
Absolutely. You got it, Jess.
You know, I'll tell you, as a Catholic, I think one of the blessings about the Catholic faith is that everything else in life one day is going to pass.
That's right.
You know, the White House, the Supreme Court Justice Building, congressional offices. One day, Terry, all those things are going to be ashes.
Yep.
They're going to be dustbins, and you know they're going to be dust in the dustbins of history. But the only thing that we know that is sure and constant, and that's why we have peace, the peace of Christ, is the Catholic Church. When the world ends, when Jesus comes back, one thing I can assure you, I don't know which denomination will be here. Most of them will be gone because they're just like tents. They open and they close. But I'll tell you one religion that will be here is the religion founded by Jesus Christ. The Catholic Church will see the end of the world, and the Catholic Church will be here to receive our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? You want to be part of that. You want to be part of that audience. There's nothing more important than wanting to be a saint, the desire to be a saint, and actually willing it. Because I can tell you this, the Catholic Church is that sure battleship that's on its way to heaven. Are we taking rounds? Absolutely, we're taking rounds.
Big time.
Absolutely, we're taking cannon fire. Are there bad people inside the ship that are trying to do, you know, cause leaks to the boat? Yeah. Absolutely, we got infiltrators inside the ship. But let me tell you something. To jump outside of the ship of the Catholic Church to the left or to the right, to become a loony liberal or to become more Catholic than the church to the right, is to lose your salvation, because the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. It is the bark of Peter, and this is that sure foundation that's going to take us to heaven by holding to the perennial teachings of the Catholic Church.
We've been saying that ever since we started, perennial teachings of the Catholic Church. I've got some good news before we break. Unplanned, the movie that we talked about going to Canada this week, or last week we talked about it. Well, good news. It smashes Canadian box office expectations on the opening weekend, just like it did in America. And, you know, there's 50 Canadian theaters that let it come in, and it brought in $352,000. And, you know, it shocked the folks in Canada. It's phenomenally strong. And now that means it can go into other theaters in Canada. And I got to tell you, that movie is our best tool for converting people to pro-life, in my humble opinion. Hey, I want to just mention tomorrow's show, we're going to be dealing some things on the Catechism of the Catholic Church, on its teachings. So don't hesitate tomorrow. Matthew Arnold and myself will do that. But when we come back from the break, Jesse, this is a topic that's probably, you know, one or two, three things that America is dealing with as an issue, whether it's a pro-life, is on abortion, but also immigration. And I think when we talk about immigration,
that's front and center right now.
Yeah,
it's all
yeah.
over the news.
So we want to talk about, what's a Catholic viewpoint on immigration? What really is? What's the Catechism have to say about it? What does Scripture have to say about it? And I think a lot of us are going to say, wow, I didn't know all that. Because, you know, I just hear sound bites on the news. Well, you're going to get good, solid biblical and teachings on what the church actually teaches.
Terry, our friend John Horvat wrote a good article on it called Why Fences Make Good Neighbors. He gives a lot of common sense arguments that we're going to share as well.
You got it. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Get yourself a cup of coffee. You might need it. I'll tell you why. Because these are hard truths. We'll be back with much more. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2111.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Holy hour of powerful contact Catholicism. Hey, by the way, mark your calendars. I'm going to be at the Church Militant Men's Conference August 2nd and 3rd. That's going to be in Dearborn, Michigan, at the Doubletree Hilton Hotel. You can find out more information from Church Militant's website or my website. Hey, I want to talk about why good fences make good neighbors. Dr. John Horvat, a friend of the show, I'm going to just lift some of the more salient comments that he has here. He says, in the present debate about the border, a good part of the squabble, he says, is the liberal rage against the wall, which has much to do with the nature of boundaries. Yep. Indeed, walls, borders, and fences are manifestations of restraint. They indicate that there are differences between things on one side and the other. Limits affirm that some things are better left separate to keep the peace. I agree. Perfect. He says, boundaries secure the property of individuals against those who have none. Good point. They protect the sovereignty of nations against those who might enter without permission or do them harm. Thus, he says, walls are not loved because walls say no. Yep. I guess walls, hurt snowflakes' feelings. He writes, many liberals mistakenly believe that any saying of no is hurtful and causes people to suffer. And so radicals claim fences must be eliminated. They're not inclusive. The earth belongs to everyone. Walls must come crashing down. Look what Dr. Horvath says about the earth is made to be shared by all. He says, the great error is the affirmation that the church belongs to no one. Radicals might be surprised to learn that the church teaches that the earth was made to be shared by all. Now, natural law does not give rules about how the earth is to be shared. That's left to human reason.
Mm-hmm.
But St. Thomas Aquinas teaches the following in question 57 of Article 2. He says, community of goods is ascribed to the natural law. Not that the natural law dictates that all things should be possessed in common, and that there it is. He's speaking out against socialism.
Yep.
He says, Thomas says, not that the natural law dictates that all things should be possessed in common. Okay. That's a downright rejection of communism and socialism. St. Thomas writes, and that nothing should be possessed as one's own. But because the division of possessions is not according to the natural law, but rather arose from human agreement, which belongs to positive law, as stated above. Hence, the ownership of possessions is not contrary to the natural law, but an addition thereto devised by human reasons. And he says, were there no sin or disorder, hey, all mankind could live together harmoniously without boundaries.
That's not
the
what
sad
we have,
reality though. Is that there is disorder.
Exactly.
And there is sin. It does exist. No matter how much the world tries to suppress them, fallen humanity naturally resists the restraints of order that keep the unbridled passions under control. Therefore, Dr. Horvat argues, walls are needed to keep the peace. Terry?
Jesse, Thomas Aquinas makes it very clear. You know, he says, justice thus demands there be property and walls that secure it. Aquinas further observes that quarrels arise more frequently when there is no division of things possessed. I'll give you a good example of that in my backyard. Most of us live next to our neighbors, and there's a wall or a fence separating your property line. My question to you, do you think you should be responsible to mow your neighbor's lawn and take the wall out and just say, hey, you know, we're all friends. I mean, you know what? I'll trim your trees. I'll take care of your yard. Or should he be responsible and take care of his own yard? Now, I get there's exceptions. I had a neighbor who got sick, and we, my boys and I, we went over and mowed his lawn until he got better. That's an act of charity. I get all that. But in normal situation, everybody does better when we have our own piece of property. And, you know, St. Albert the Great affirms that everybody is by nature inclined to pay more attention to what is his own than to what is common, so that if this were be better cultivated, it would also grow a good fruition where all are concerned. Here's the bottom line, Jess. Human nature, it's fallen, like you just said. We have a fall in our human nature. We're going to take care of our property because we own it. There's pride of ownership. And I just think, you know, if you look at the Vatican, there's a wall around the Vatican. What's
huge
that for?
Wall.
What's that for? Security.
Keep out Muslims.
Exactly.
No, specifically to keep out Muslims, it was built in the year, like the year 1000.
Oh, yeah.
I forget
an
the
invasion.
Pope's name.
Yep.
I've got it in my notes somewhere.
Yeah, no, it's
yeah, and the Pope put the wall up to keep out Muslim invaders.
Hey, Jesse, do you know why I have a front door with a lock on it?
Keep out invaders, burglars, thieves, bad guys.
You get it? Is that, you know, see, my point is America is the most generous country, and we're going to talk about this with what the Catechism has to say as a moral obligation for wealthier countries like America. But the Catechism also is going to say, Jesse, as you know, that we have to obey government laws when it comes to immigration. We can't just say there's no wall, we're going to come in.
But that's what leftist Catholics usually do not quote. They overlook 2241.
Well, let's read it.
Will not quote that. They quote the Catechism selectively. Terry, John Horvat, Dr. Horvat also talks about the fact that sometimes you got to repair walls,
that's
you know,
because right.
they can be,
right.
they become, you know, they start falling apart, you know, yep. through the passing of time.
Of course.
He calls that constant mending.
Yep.
He says, it's not enough that there be walls. They must be periodically mended.
Yep.
It takes continuous effort to define those limits that separate farmers and farms. Unrepaired walls can also lead to quarrels and disputes. So when borders become unclear, they can quickly degenerate into ambiguous situations that the same fallen human nature exploits to disturb the peace. So even when harmony appears to reign, mended walls are needed. To which the neighbor replies, you've heard many people say this. It's a true statement.
Sure.
Good fences make good neighbors.
That's right.
It's an American age-old acknowledgement of our fallen nature. You know, Robert Frost, who he quotes a lot in this article, does not understand the theology of original sin or concupiscence, or to go behind his father's saying, you know, he merely repeats the tradition handed down to him. Likewise, so many people don't understand the need for limits and restraint.
That's right.
The liberals and progressives, they don't. They want to tear down walls because walls tell them no, and liberals and progressives don't like to be told no.
Yeah.
But the fact is that walls exist because sin exists.
Of course.
And disorder exists. And raging concupiscence exists, which leads people to become thieves and burglars and commit, you know, home invasions. This is why walls are important. And the alternatives without walls are much too disastrous to contemplate. It's far better to build the wall or to mend a wall, repair it, and make good neighbors than to take the descending road to a new barbarity.
Of course.
Which is socialism, Terry.
Of course.
Communism. No walls.
Of course.
You know, no borders. And everybody just share everything in common.
What I notice about...
See how that works.
Yeah, what I notice about this, Jesse, is they're very naive, okay? They don't understand original sin. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go so far and say I question whether they believe in original sin. And then I'm going to take it to the next level. You know what I notice about people like this? They also believe everybody goes to heaven. Have you noticed that, Jess? I really mean that. I've noticed liberals...
I want to give kudos to your nephew, Terry, for taking that issue on in his new book.
Oh, my nephew, Dr. Michael Barber. You can go to Catholic World Report. He wrote a book on salvation. In chapter 8, he takes on von Balthasar's position that we don't
Terry,
know.
We hope that all men should be saved.
Be saved. And he actually has a little dialogue on Catholic World Report with Father Fessio and a couple other theologians. And Jesse, I'll say it publicly, he held his own, man. Yeah, you know, not everybody agreed with him. But I'm going to tell you, Jess, I agreed with Chapter 8 because you know what he did? He gave a constant teachings of the Catholic Church about hell. And you know what? A lot of guys will back down on that. And I just want to say kudos to Dr. Michael Barber, not just because I'm his uncle, but because he made a stand that was very unpopular. And a lot of, I'll just be honest with you, Jess, a lot of these guys with PhDs,
they lose their courage.
Exactly. And Dr. Barber just told Father Fessio and the other theologians that Chapter 8 is what the constant teachings of the church is. And he gave all the scripture, he gave all the things we've said. But I was impressed that he would say something that strong. So God
bless him.
But
he stood his ground.
You bet.
Terry, speaking about walls again, just the fact is that the Vatican has walls. In fact, I just pulled it up here. They were built in the 9th century, these humongous walls mm-hmm. around the Vatican by Pope Leo IV.
Yes.
And the Vatican actually says it was in an attempt to protect itself from pirates and other invaders, including Islamists. And so the fact is, you know, there were barbarian invasions.
Sure.
There were Islamic invasions. And this is why Pope Leo IV had to build these walls.
Prudent.
And also, Terry, the White House has a huge wall. A lot of people
I have
to
a
forget.
Wall.
The White House has actually two fences. Okay.
Yeah,
the first fence has always been there. And under Obama, guess what happened?
Tell
Mr.
me.
Obama, the progressive, he built a second fence. So it had only one fence. It was a pretty high fence with spikes. But Obama, under his administration, he put a second fence, which is that fence is 8 inches higher. And there's spikes on top of that fence as well that'll seriously injure somebody jumping over the fence. So under President Obama, we now have two fences around the White House with spikes, not one fence. And by the way, if you get over the two fences, if you're lucky enough to get over the two fences, guess what? There's attack dogs, that the Secret Service deploys with machine guns.
Good luck.
If you get over two fences, it's not going to go well for you because, again, that's what happens when you enter into somebody's property. You're not invited.
That's it. Hey, we've got Ernesto on line one, but we're going to take him after the break. I just want to encourage all of you who went to the men's conference last month that we have a women's conference coming up, and it's filling up fast. So, Mom, go ahead and go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org to register for the conference. Father Charles Murr is going to be there also with my wife and Dr. Nicolosi and many others. It's going to be a full day. And you just can register if you don't want to go online and just call, do it over the phone like I did with someone last night, 877-526-2151. And don't forget, we've got a lot of other events going on. The Spiritual Warfare Conference, say a prayer. I'm waiting for this pastor in Covina to allow us to get the big church so we can fill it with about 1,000 people this year because we ran out of room at the chapel. So I'll know that today. That's on January 11th. And then we have an evangelization conference in April. We have another conference on the liturgy with Adoramus. Lots of good things. Why are we doing these conferences?
Catechesis.
Exactly, folks. We want to teach you the faith. Because I'll tell you, you need to be strong in these days we're living in. Ernesto, hang on. We're going to catch you on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And I wanted you to get yourself a cup of coffee or some tea because we're having a conversation with you and we appreciate you allowing us to come into your living room or wherever you're at. And this is Terry and Jesse on Virgin Most Powerful. This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Deal Hudson, Dr. Deal Hudson, has penned an article called Immigration and the Golden Ticket. And here's what he's talking about. The immigration, like abortion, is now is part of the center of national politics. It was a centerpiece for the 2016 presidential election. And it's going to be, again, the centerpiece, immigration and abortion, for the 2020 election and all the debates that are going to occur before the election. And some argue that the principle of solidarity should inform a public policy that allows immigrants to enter the U.S. with only a minimal challenge at the border. And the USCCB has consistently taken this position, as stated in a document they put out in 2000, Welcoming the Stranger, Unity and Diversity. And the bishop's call to solidarity calls for the utilization of all government and church services to provide total care for immigrants who cross the border, whether or not they cross illegally. In this document, Welcoming Strangers, the bishop explain it this way. They say, without condoning undocumented migration, the church supports the human rights of all people and offers them pastoral care, education, social services, no matter what the circumstances of entry into this country. And it works for the respect of the human dignity of all, especially those who find themselves in desperate circumstances. We recognize, see, this is a throwaway line, because they don't really mean this. They go, we recognize that the nations have the right to control their borders, but we also recognize and strongly assert that all human persons created as they are in the image of God possess a fundamental dignity that gives rise to a more compelling claim to the conditions of a worthy human life. So here's what the U.S. bishops are saying in that document, okay? Yes, it's true. Countries can manage their borders. They have the right to control their borders. But what supersedes that? You, my friend, you illegal immigrant, were made in the image and likeness of God. And because you're made in the image and likeness of God, that supersedes a country's ability to govern and control their borders. That's what they're saying in this article.
And that's not what the Catholic Church teaches in the catechism, so nope. They need to update their file. Hey, we've got several people on hold. Ernesto is a truck driver in Lakewood, California. Ernesto, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What's on your mind, brother?
Good morning, man, Terry and Jesse.
All right, we're doing well. God bless you.
I called last time to Jesus 911.
Yeah.
And I'm basically doing the same thing that I did last time.
What's that, brother?
That was actually yesterday. You know, and I don't know why, but I have it on my heart right now just to tell the people that are your listeners, you know, if they're not donating, to donate. And then you're not paying me to do this.
You know, I understand. God love you.
You know, the reason why I'm doing it, it's because you have guys helped me so much in forming me and my family. You know, and I just see so much propaganda out there, you know, with the marijuana propaganda, the billboards all over, you know, and the gay pride.
Sure.
Month supposedly just passed. You got billboards all over. You know, we should have billboards of you guys around, you know. Seriously, all this propaganda that we have around and everything, it's going against our faith. So I'm just calling for that.
Thank you, Ernesto.
Appreciate that, brother.
And Ernesto, I just got off the phone. One of the guys texted me. A lady called and said, I want to donate $50 right now. See, there are people who go, you know what? These guys are telling it like it is. We need more of that today. And I appreciate you, Ernesto, who are helping us reach people. I know I've got Karen in Michigan coming on. All over the country, all over the world, people can hear Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and it couldn't happen without people like you, Ernesto, and others who are financially backing what we're doing, and I thank you for that.
You know what? And I don't give a lot, but we have other radio stations, Catholic radio stations, where I'm not sure why you don't do it. Maybe we're not big enough.
Yeah.
But once a year, or three times a year, twice a year, they do like, you know, this rally of getting new donors and, you know, trying to meet. And ever since you went from Red Room Radio to right now, I never heard you do that.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
All right, brother.
That, you know?
Well, we're glad that you're out there. Ernesto, keep us in your prayers, and we'll be praying for you, brother.
All right, thanks a lot.
You bet. Before we go on, let's get Karen in Michigan. Karen in Michigan, God love you. What's on your mind, Karen? And welcome.
Well, I was just listening to you talk about your nephew.
Yes.
And I just wanted to comment
Sure.
that I just recently read a book
Yes.
called The Dogma of Hell by Father Schulte, I think.
I know, I have that book. 10 books, yes. Yeah. 10 books. It's a good one.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a pretty disturbing book, but it really speaks to the, you know.
We should give it to all the U.S. bishops that.
I agree.
Every one of them.
I think it should be mandatory reading for every Catholic, to be honest. Yeah. So.
I'm with you.
Yeah, we read that 40 years ago when I was a teenager, and it scared the hell out of me. You get it?
Well, it scared the hell out of me, too, and I went to Adoration.
Good. That's right? A good place.
And kind of had an enlightenment, went to confession.
Good.
And feel much, much better.
Yeah, of course you would. Karen, how did you hear about the Terry and Jesse show out in Michigan? Were you listening to us before we got booted?
I've listened to you guys for years when you were on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Good.
I was living in the Bay Area.
Yes.
So, So I've been following you via the app.
Well, Karen, can we send you some cards to hand out in Michigan to get more people to tune into our show? Just call the 877-526-2151 number, and they'd be happy to shoot some cards over to you. Would you do that for us?
Sure.
All right. Well, God bless you, Karen. And you know what? You're reading anything from Tan Books. There's some really good books there. That really formed me as a teenager.
That's right.
I knew Thomas, who started Tan Books, and he's a very loyal man. He loved Jesus, and Saint Alphonsus Liguori said, "Only God knows how much good can come from a holy book." So I want to thank you for promoting that book on hell.
Very good. Thanks.
God bless you, Karen.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Terry, the bishops, the way they speak today on immigration is completely opposite of the way the bishops used to speak about immigration back in the 20s.
Of course.
I got a quote here, okay? I went down to my files. Boy, I dug deep for this one. I pulled out one of my LA Mission newspapers, Terry, from 1985. Okay? You remember that periodical in Southern California.
Okay? I know him well.
Yeah, it says here, the Archbishop of Guadalajara in 1920 actually called for a holy crusade against emigration. That means people leaving from Mexico to the U.S. That's called emigration. Right. So the Archbishop of Guadalajara called for a holy crusade against emigration, people leaving from Mexico to the U.S., and composed a circular letter, to be read at Sunday masses in Mexico.
That's amazing.
In which he detailed the dangerous to your moral and religious life by going to the U.S. And he also says that even today, the Mexican church, though it does not discourage immigration and even aids it, it still recognizes some of the same problems. Also, the article says that, priests now promote migrants' ties with their source community without necessarily advocating permanent return. Keeping the family unit intact is seen as more important than keeping family members in Mexico, but this actually goes contrary to some of the popes. Look what Pope Leo XIII said in 1891.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. And he's talking about the cultural status, not only of the Mexican church alone, but of all immigration. He says in 1891 in Rerum Novarum, he says, note that one benefit that would result from a reform of the economic and social order in a country so that men can easily be kept from leaving the country in which they have been born and bred. So Pope Leo XIII says, man, these countries got to get their act together.
That's right.
They've got to get their economy, they got to quit on ripping off the people. They got
corruption.
Yeah, exactly. These corrupt socialist dictator oligarchies have to quit ripping off the people and make it a society where people can work so people don't leave. People that are born and bred in those countries won't leave those countries if there's work. And Pope John the 23rd says in Pacem in Terris in 1963, he says he advocated for the policy of bringing the work to workers whenever possible rather than bringing workers to another country.
Good idea.
So that they will not be exposed to the painful necessity of uprooting themselves from their own homes and settling in a strange country and forming new social contacts. So Pope John the 23rd, he also says this is not a good idea to take somebody from one country and to put him in a totally foreign country for purposes of work. You can't uproot people. That's not good for them. That's not good for the family. And Pope John Paul II also says similar things in 1981. So when you look at some of these older statements, Terry, it contradicts what the USCCB is pushing today.
Of course. And Jesse, let's be honest. I've been called a racist with this comment because I'm not a Hispanic. But I live around all Hispanic people. I live in Southern California. Here it comes. The men that leave their families in Mexico to come to America, too many of them end up starting a second family. Now, Jesse,
The article I have here.
Okay, well, it's proven my point.
It quotes Catholic priests here that are saying what you say.
Okay.
Catholic priests from the Diocese of San Diego, the Diocese of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I won't mention their names. They're saying here that people that come to confession, they say the number one sin of people south of the border, men coming to confession,
adultery.
Is bigamy.
Yeah.
Bigamy and adultery, your second family.
That's right.
The priests, I can't give out their names. They're from the Diocese of L.A. There's several in the article.
Oh, yeah.
And the Diocese of San Diego.
Yep.
Terry, the fact is
makes the family.
Exactly. It's spiritually deadly to the family because temptation is too strong here for a guy to leave his family, a young guy, and he's going to work, live in an apartment, you know, with 10 other workers that work construction, and their wife is 3,000 miles away, and you got pornography day in and day on your iPhone, on your on the television, and on the internet. And you think the guy's going to be chaste and faithful
to his
wife?
Doesn't work that way.
Terry, here's the problem. My problem with illegal immigration is this.
Tell me.
Here's my cop hat.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Put on my police hat.
Sure.
It breeds lawlessness.
Of course, Jesse.
Simple. Okay? The immigration policy, by not enforcing our laws, it breeds lawlessness. And lawlessness breeds more lawlessness. And this is why President Trump is having such a hard time getting the reins on this, because all the presidents haven't done anything for 50 years.
You nailed it, Jesse. We'll be back with much more on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2111.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry, you got something to say?
I do, Jesse. I want to comment on this real quick. Here in Southern California this week, we had about 23 individuals convicted. You know, they're arrested for 8 murders. And they were with that group.
MS-13.
Yeah, and they're from El Salvador. And they were 19 out of the 23. That this is not in the news, okay? I had to dig this up, Jesse. Were illegal aliens in America. And I bring this up because...
I saw it on Fox last night.
Yeah, you saw it? Well, yeah. And paragraph 1909, this is the catechism, the common good...
Don't soft pedal it. These guys,
they were brutal.
They killed people like they do in the Middle Ages.
Yeah, they cut people's hearts out.
They used machetes.
Yeah.
And they cut people's heads off.
Yeah, and hearts.
And chopped up their bodies.
Yeah.
This is the type of people.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's wicked stuff. But here's the point. What about the guy, the innocent citizen like myself here in this country? The common good, the catechism says, requires peace. That is the stability and security of a just order. It presupposes that authority should ensure by morality acceptable means of security in society and its members. It is the basis of the right of legitimate personal and collective defense. Here's the point I'm making. Yes, I hear these people saying, oh, these people should just be able to come. Can I say something? Are you serious? You don't think vetting is important? Let me ask you a question, Jess. When someone comes to the Romero home, do you vet them or do you just let anybody in your home, brother?
Everybody vets them.
Of course we do. I do the same thing.
You want to see if they're friend or foe. Well, what business they have knocking at your door?
So here's my point. Because of our broken illegal immigration system right now, and it's broken, I've seen videos of people just walking across the border, okay?
By the hundreds and thousands.
Yes. And so for the safety of us citizens, the catechism is saying, hey, wake up. And Jesse, I know you're quoting the bishop's statements. The problem with the bishops right now is that they're not reading right from the catechism of the Catholic Church. They're giving their political views, and I don't care about their
political
views.
Which comes from the Democrat Party.
Yes, but I don't want to hear their political views. I want to hear what Christ teaches on topics.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's
but
all.
Father Richard Neuhaus told us why this is happening.
Why is it?
He said that the U.S. bishops are the Democrat Party in robes. Father Richard Neuhaus, editor of First Things,
well,
rest in peace.
Can I give you an example? I have a photograph of the bishops' conference parking lot in 08 and in 12. And it was riddled with Obama stickers. Does that say anything, Jess, to confirm that? I mean, it's embarrassing to have to say it, Jesse, but...
It is.
What kind of money does the church get from the Democrats?
Oh, yeah, Terry, there's articles galore, thanks to non-establishment Catholic media. I'm looking at one article here, it says, Chicago Archdiocese immigration program funded by leftists.
There you go.
Here's another article. U.S. bishops receive millions of dollars from federal government for refugee and immigration services. They get paid for each person. Here's another article.
Follow the money.
USCCB has given money to nonprofits that promote abortion, contraception, and homosexuality to the tune of millions of dollars. Here's another one.
Oh, my gosh.
Grants, USCCB. It says... The Catholic bishops of the U.S. established a Catholic Campaign for Human Development in 1970. They mandated the campaign fund such projects as voter registration, community organizing, community-run schools, minority-owned cooperatives and credit unions,
oh my gosh,
capital for industrial development and job trainings, and to set up rural cooperatives. Guess what? the USCCB through Catholic Campaign for Human Development, Terry, this is socialism.
Of course.
This is what socialism looks like. Socialism is this, when a large organization runs and operates smaller organizations. The USCCB, this large organization with money coming from the Democrat Party, is running small organizations. What do we call that? We call that socialism. Here's another one. CRS lobbies government for $9 billion for agencies pushing contraception. That's Catholic Relief Services. Here's another one.
Just the facts.
U.S. bishops claim $750,000 grant to pro-LGBT organization, and they say it doesn't violate Catholic teaching. Last Lonely. One. Federal government gives USCCB $2 billion a year. Now you know why, Terry. They govern like the Democrat Party when it comes to abortion and illegal immigration.
And that's why in November, right around Thanksgiving, when the hat goes out for the Campaign for Development, say no, don't give them a dime, because much of that funding comes from that one collection each year. So for the last 30 or 40 years, once I was informed of all this, Jesse?
I haven't been given it after for years. Well, I didn't get I haven't given to Peter Spence for a couple of years either.
No.
It just came a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know what the Holy Father did with a lot of Peter Pence's money? He gave, I forgot how many millions of dollars he gave the people in the caravans coming over here illegally. I think the number's in the millions of dollars. Where does that come from? Peter Spence.
All I can say is vote with your Catholic morality. And
Terry, this is painful to say all this stuff, because you and me are Jesus-loving, hardcore Catholics, and this is painful to see the infiltration in the church right now, the leftist infiltration. Terry, I just want to just give a nod to an article. We're not going to go through it because I don't want to throw up. But it's an article that we have here. It's called The Catholic Left Returns, and it really ties in Joseph Cardinal Bernardin, the 7th Archbishop of Chicago, who passed away in 1996, and he asked for a homosexual male choir to sing at his funeral.
Sad.
The article shows the connection that he has with the Democrat Party and leftist causes. And in fact, EWTN did a special called The Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. They showed the connection that Cardinal Joseph Bernardin had with Saul Alinsky, who was a radical Marxist community organizer from Chicago. He wrote the book Rules for Radicals, which he dedicated to Satan. And it was Cardinal Bernardin and him had a personal relationship. And he's the one that showed Cardinal Bernardin how to set up community organizations in his diocese. And so if you want to know about how bad or when the church started aligning themselves with the Democrat Party, with leftist causes, you could read this article. It's called The Catholic Left Returns, but Michael Voris has done a better job than we can ever do on this.
Yeah.
If you go to Church Militant, there's an article here called The Vortex Special Report, Cardinal Bernardin. If you want to get the straight scoop, it's called The Vortex Special Report, Cardinal Bernardin. He does a masterful track record of all the damage he's done to our church.
And not only that, it's well done, documented regarding Holy Communion in the hand. Bernardin was responsible for that, and he did some things that were immoral. It's all documented in Michael Voris's The Vortex. But I want to encourage you one more thing, and that is to go to LifeSite News and John Henry Weston's podcast regarding the Amazon conference that's going on. He has something there on women's ordination questions. He documents everything. It's about 14 and a half minutes long. And I think everybody should watch that, because we need to be praying that this conference doesn't even take off and it's canceled, because we see the writing on the wall and it's not good. So one of the things we say here at Virgin Most Powerful is, yes, we direct you to people like Michael Voris and to the LifeSite News. One of the charisms that we have is you'll notice we're teaching you the Catechism of the Catholic Church, a lot of scripture. And we do expose the problems in the church. But you know what? At the end of every show, Jesse, what do, brother?
We bring people and we remind people that the most important thing in life is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
You got it.
Through the Catholic Church, through the sacraments. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, a personal relationship is actually known as biblical. It's called a covenant relationship that's what we have with God.
That's right.
And let me tell you something. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is our Savior. He's our Lord. He's the one that died for our sins. Don't put your trust in any man. Don't put your trust in us or any man.
Nope.
Men will fail you all the time.
Right.
You know, even St. Peter, the first pope, Jesus told him, hey, get behind me, Satan, because he started questioning Jesus Christ's his plan for salvation. So let's just remember that we're all sinners, and we all have to pray and encourage each other. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Only Jesus can get us to heaven. And don't worry about, you know, don't get caught up in and you know, and have this big S on your chest like you're the savior of the church.
Nope.
You're not. We're nobody. We're sinners. The only S we have on our chest, it says sinners. And you know what? Just remember this. Jesus is God, and Jesus can handle the problems of the church. With any prelates in the church, with any lay people, any of the bad stuff going on, Jesus Christ is God. He can handle it. And every one of us is going to have an exit interview with him. So let's make sure that we live and die in a state of grace and that we have an exit interview where Jesus Christ says, come home, son, you're going home.
And the most important thing we can do is be a saint. Yeah. Live in union with Jesus Christ. And don't forget Our Lady of Fatima. Read Our Lady of Akita. She predicted these things. What did Our Lady say? More souls are going to hell because of sins of the flesh. Are you kidding me? That was back
in 1917.
Yeah. And don't forget, she said this about souls going to hell because no one is willing to sacrifice and pray for them. You can do it. I don't care if you're 6 years old or 96. We can offer our suffering in union with the sufferings of Christ to help redeem the world. So, Jesse, our answer really is holiness here at Virgin Most Part.
Holiness.
Personal holiness, everyone. Hey, if you haven't been to
confession. Embrace the good news.
Exactly. And if you haven't been to confession in a while and you're waiting for someone to encourage you, that's me. Go to confession, pray your rosary, do penance for the sins of the world and for our own sins.
Amen.
Jess, what state should we be living in?
State of grace, don't live in a state of mortal sin. And by the way, on August 2nd and 3rd, I'll be in the state of Michigan. I'm not going to move there. I'll just be there for two days. Dearborn, Michigan.
Yep.
I'll be speaking at the Church Militant Men's Conference. They're going to stream the conference online.
Awesome.
By going to their website so you can catch it online as well. It's going to be Friday and Saturday.
Great.
Church Militant Men's Conference. I'll be there. If you're anywhere near Dearborn, Michigan, we'd love to see you out there.
And that same weekend, I'll be in Wichita, Kansas for the Family Conference, our 20th year. We've got about 5,500 people there. Big families. It would be a great event. Steve Ray will be there. Tim Staples will be there. We had Scott Hahn there last year. It's a great family event. Please go to Midwest Catholic Family Conference to register. Wow, Jesse, that went quick. Hey, tomorrow, remember, we're going to do a teaching on the Catechism of the Catholic Church and teach you what our Lord has taught, the perennial teachings of the church, to build you up in the faith. Jess, finish it up, brother.
You know what? There's three things that we need to do. We need to know our faith.
Amen.
We need to live our faith.
Amen.
And we need to spread our faith. Amen. If you do those three things... you're going to build up the body of Christ, and when you die, Jesus is going to look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Wow. Again, I want to thank all of you who support us. If you haven't been a monthly supporter, I'll give you my cell number. Call me. I'll sign you up. 661-972-7872. Love to chat with you if you have a question or comment. May God richly bless you. And here at Virgin Most Powerful, we're going to say full sheen ahead in the months to come, because Bishop Sheen is going to be beatified. God love you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.